First, it's our weekly look at some of the top headlines out of the nation's capital. Congress is back in session this week after a recess. There continues to be a stalemate on additional coronavirus relief funding. A funding bill needs to come together to prevent a government shutdown at the end of the month. And Democrats in the Senate are talking about the possibility of doing away with the legislative filibuster if they manage to win a majority this fall. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think the U.S. Senate should get rid of the filibuster, where, in effect, to do stuff you need 60-plus votes? Why or why not? Do you think doing so would damage the institution of the Senate, like Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Republicans say? Would changing the legislative filibuster make any difference in how the Senate does its job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer Habercorn covers Congress for the LA Times. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with this evergreen topic over the last few months now, the efforts to pass some kind of new COVID-19 relief bill. A lot going on here. First of all, Speaker Pelosi saying, what, the House is going to stay in session until they get something done? What does that mean?
She did say that, and Democrats do want to stay in Washington. In effect, it does not sound like they actually will. Once they leave sometime this month, they're going to be essentially on standby for 24-hour notice. I think she kind of made those comments looking for the headline. They're going to, and the image that they're going to be here working hard, talking. But the fact of the matter is, not much has actually changed on the process of getting closer to a COVID bill. She has not resumed negotiations with the White House. There's a lot of posturing right now, and there's a lot of concern that there isn't a bill, but the negotiations have not restarted. And frankly, there's not even very much movement to get to a deal.
Let's give a listen to Speaker Pelosi making that announcement. She actually said this on CNBC yesterday.
I just got up a call with my colleagues. We are committed to staying here until we have an agreement that meets the needs of the American people. We're optimistic that the White House, at least, will understand that we have to do some things. We have had a disagreement on crushing the virus, and that's a very important part of the HEROES Act, testing, tracing.
It does sound a little bit like they're going to break out the sleeping bags there. Clearly, that's not what's going to happen. But let's talk about some of the points of disagreement. Speaker Pelosi mentioned that HEROES Act. That's something the House passed, what, months ago now. What was in that just didn't fly at all in the Senate?
The main issue that Republicans and the Senate had with that bill, which passed back in May, was that it was too expensive in their eyes. It was more than a $3 trillion bill. Senate Republicans want something more in the neighborhood of $1 trillion. And there has been a bit of movement on that over time. The House has said that they would come down about $1 trillion, and they asked the White House to come up $1 trillion, but there's still very little agreement. In fact, President Trump tweeted today that Republicans should increase their number above $1 trillion. And Republicans on Capitol Hill basically said no today. They said that they don't, you know, really think that a package needs to be more than $1 trillion. And then once you dig into the policy that's in there, House Democrats really want about $1 trillion for state and local governments so that they can pay their police officers, firefighters, public employees. And a lot of Republicans are really skeptical about that. They call that a blue state bailout. And they say that states that were financially mismanaged before the crisis are trying to take advantage of this to get more money. Of course, every state is different, and we could dig into that a little bit, but that's one of the main points of disagreement. There's also disagreement as to whether stimulus checks should be given to individuals, how much enhanced unemployment, if you remember those $600 checks, whether those should continue and at what amount. So there's quite a few areas of disagreement between Republicans and Democrats at this point.
Yeah, let's look at that stimulus issue. As you said, the president tweeted that should be part of a new bill. It was, I believe, part of the Democrats in the House, their HEROES Act. They're still pulling for that. Not part of Senate Republican proposals at any point. Is that right?
It was part of a plan, about 6 weeks ago now, but it was not part of their latest proposal.
Got it. And now we had the Problem Solvers Caucus in the U.S. House, Democrats, Republicans getting together on this. They came up with something. Can you briefly let us know what they were looking at and then the reception their idea got?
Yeah, they were looking at about a $1.5 trillion plan. Obviously, they were trying to split the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And it included some of the, I should say, many of the proposals that everyone wants, but in smaller amounts, such as funding for state and local governments and stimulus checks. But it was very quickly rejected by House Democrats who feel, I should say, House Democratic leaders who feel like they kind of need to do all or nothing. They don't want to pass piecemeal bills that get at small pieces of this without tackling the big problem. But what the Problem Solvers Caucus plan really exposes is that there's many rank and file House Democrats who are getting very frustrated that they haven't been able to come up with a deal. As we mentioned, the HEROES Act passed the House back in May. There's been no substantial movement since then. And they're going to be on the ballot in just a couple weeks. And they really feel like they need to go home to their constituents and say that they got something done. Not that they passed something in the House, but they got it done. And so they're really urging House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to get back to the bargaining table, urging her to get something done, even if it's not everything that Democrats want. But Democratic leadership right now feels like they need to go for the big bill or nothing at all.
We're talking to Jennifer Habercorn from the LA Times about some of the top stories in national politics, mostly looking at Congress. In a little bit, we're going to talk about the filibuster. Some Democrats and some Democratic supporters say if Democrats win the Senate in the fall, it's a big if, but if they do, they say they should try to end the filibuster to try to be able to get more done with a Democratic Senate. What do you think of that idea? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Jennifer, that concern as people are running for re-election, the entire House is, a lot of the Senate, a third of the Senate is, and of course, you know, this guy's running for president. That sense you were saying from some moderate Democrats in particular, I think, worried that they would take the fallout if something doesn't get passed. I mean, doesn't in the public's eye, doesn't everybody get a little bit of the blame? And maybe depending on where you're looking at it from, you're going to blame the other side?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I particularly pointed out the moderate House Democrats who are up for re-election because they are in the most competitive districts. You know, you think about control of the House really swings on the parts of the country that are the most centrist, that flip back and forth between Republican and Democrat, you know, every couple terms. And in those races, they're very tight right now. And the power of incumbency is that you can deliver legislation that your constituents want. And obviously, the economy is still struggling in the wake of the pandemic and the shutdowns it prompted. And they feel like their constituents really need this additional assistance and want to see the economy improve. And so for that reason, they want to see a deal. They want to see money flowing from the federal government out into the pockets of their constituents.
I use the word shutdown there. Speaking of that, another thing that could happen is if a spending bill isn't passed, we could have a government shutdown. And it seemed like there was a while, a couple few years back, where, I don't know, it seemed like every 10 minutes there was a deadline to avert another government shutdown. What's going on this time?
You're right. So the government is due to run out of money on September 30th, which is 2 weeks from today. As of right now, everyone, I should say, the White House and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are on the same page that they don't want a government shutdown. You know, when we've seen these the last couple of years, they rarely play well for anyone. It just makes Congress look incredibly inept, and the White House for that matter. And so there is agreement that they want to avoid a shutdown. They want to pass a bill to fund the government as soon as they can and as cleanly as they can. They don't want to attach any policy such as further COVID relief to that effort. Of course, it's too early to say whether that they're going to be successful in that and whether they can pass a bill to fund the government without the risk of a shutdown. But as of right now, everyone's saying the right thing. And I don't anticipate a shutdown. The question is going to be how long they fund the government for, if they fund it through November, if they fund it into December or into next year, and kind of when we're going to see this clip again and when we're going to see this, you know, potential drama play out the next time.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Troy is with us in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. Yes, I definitely think if the Democrats take over the Congress in November that most definitely the reason why things are being held up right now is because of the Republicans, and definitely get a bigger stimulus package for everybody with this pandemic. Now, there's a big question that I always hear everybody say. They keep saying, well, who do you think is going to pay for all this? And I'm going to tell everybody right now, me, the taxpayer. And that's what I want my taxes going for. I pay into this system. So when there's a pandemic and times like this, that I get that money, I get helped out during a pandemic.
Troy, thanks a lot for the call. Troy, hoping it sounds like for total Democratic control of Congress to end the gridlock. That's, I guess, probably what Senator Schumer and others are working for, too. Everybody probably has their eye over their shoulder on Election Day, right?
Oh, for sure.
Oop, you still there, Jennifer? There you go.
Yeah, they're hoping for a full sweep this fall so that they can control all of government next year. And they're starting to put together an agenda for what they would do if that's the case. We don't have a ton of detail as to what that's going to be right now, at least in the weeds, but that's what they're rooting for.
Thanks for that call, Troy. We are talking to Jennifer Habercorn, congressional reporter for the LA Times, looking at Congress back in session, what's on agendas, coronavirus relief, avoiding a government shutdown. And coming up, we'll follow up on what Jennifer was saying there. You can join in at 800-642-1234. The filibuster, should it stay or should it go? Some Democratic supporters saying go, hoping for a Democratic majority and getting rid of the filibuster, they say, would let Democrats get more stuff done. There are worries about the long-term impact on the Senate, how it exists, its prestige, it's a regard among the American public. Join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with LA Times congressional reporter Jennifer Habercorn. It's our weekly look at the latest news in national politics. Let's take a couple callers on the stimulus issue before we move on to the filibuster. Bill is with us in Hales Corners. Bill, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up?
I was curious. I read an article yesterday that talked about a group of a bipartisan group of congressmen putting together an alternate bill, an alternate recovery bill that was in the $1.3 or $1.4 trillion range. And I'm just curious to know if your guest knows anything about that, or if that's still in play, or what's up.
Thanks for the call. Jennifer, that's that Problem Solvers Caucus we talked about a little earlier, right? That's the bipartisan effort?
Yes, that's right. And as we mentioned, Democratic leadership basically said, no way, we don't believe that the response that the pandemic warrants $1.3 trillion response. It warrants more in the neighborhood of $2 or $3 trillion response. So it was pretty quickly rejected by House Democratic leadership. But the members, Republicans and Democrats, are still pushing it.
Thanks for calling in. We'll go to Tom now in Crandon. Tom, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to say, how come the real truth never comes out about what the Democrats really want all that money for, to bail out California and New York? Now, if it's COVID and people that need the money, I am all for it. But I am sick and tired of the Democrats lying. And they say, oh, it's Republicans, they're not going to. No, the Republicans have stood firm and said, what's happening in California is their own fault. It's not me living in Wisconsin. It's not anyone else. And what happens in New York, that's their fault. And it's all Democrat run, all of it.
Tom, thanks for the call. Jennifer, is there any sign that, and I think he's referring to that state and local aid, that states like New York and California would disproportionately benefit from that kind of aid?
You know, the caller is getting at a concern a lot of Republicans mm-hmm. have. They've referred to this as a blue state bailout. Obviously, I write for a paper based in California, so I'm a bit familiar with this. And actually, California had a rainy day fund that it was going through, very quickly at the beginning of the pandemic. And the Republican concern is that states that were fiscally irresponsible before the bailout and before the pandemic would get money to resolve their issues. You know, frankly, they point to a state like Illinois more than California. But, you know, Democrats say this, you know, the pandemic has hit every state. There's people in every state that are suffering. Every state is going through this process, and the money would not disproportionately affect states that had poor financial standing before the crisis.
Tom, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. It's our weekly look at some of the latest news in national politics. Jennifer Habercorn with us from the LA Times, congressional reporter there. You can join in, of course, at 800-642-1234. Well, a lot of people want to talk about the relief efforts this week, Jennifer. So let's go to Alex and Rhinelander. Alex, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up the fact that earlier this year, the Republican Senate was more than happy to pass the $3 trillion bailout for corporate interest. And so in this kind of time where we're thinking about the next bill, I just think it's rather ironic that now the Republicans are a little hesitant to help actual people out.
Alex, thanks a lot for the call. Alex referring, I think, to the CARES Act. But part of that was going toward businesses, but not all of it. Right, Jennifer?
That's right. The most substantial grants, which could turn into loans that went to businesses. I should point out that that was very widely supported by both Republicans and Democrats. And the program proved to be very popular. And there is discussion that, you know, if one of these bills could come together, there would be a second round of that grant program.
Thanks a lot for that call. Well, I've been teasing the filibuster this whole time. We better get to it, Jennifer, before we run out of time. Now, some Democrats talking about possibly if they win the Senate, not a sure thing, certainly, the idea of getting rid of the filibuster. What are we hearing?
So the filibuster is the 60-vote threshold that the Senate rule has. If legislation wants to pass, it only needs 50 votes, but it needs us to pass 60 votes before that, before you can get to that final vote and for it to become law. And Democrats are considering just getting rid of that 60-vote requirement so that you'd only have one vote. It would be 50, and a bill would move to the president's desk or move over to the House after that. They argue that Republicans have obstructed in the Senate and that they worry that Republicans would do so even under a Biden administration. So everything Democrats want to do would just be held up by Republicans in the Senate. So they're considering getting rid of it. The argument against getting rid of it, which there are some Democrats who embrace, say that, you know, if you only have a 50-vote threshold, then you're going to see legislation just dramatically changing, kind of flipping back and forth, depending on whether Republicans or Democrats are in charge. The 60-vote threshold provides some stability that you can't just go in and flip-flop between legislation, you know, every 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. So Democrats are considering this. They haven't made any final decision on what they're going to do. But progressives are really putting pressure on Democrats right now to be prepared to do this if the Senate does flip hands to Democrats and Biden goes to the White House.
Let's give a listen to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his response to these calls.
This threat to permanently disfigure the Senate has been the latest growing drumbeat in the modern Democratic Party's war against our governing institutions.
Now, Jennifer, in some ways, the filibuster has been chipped away at. Democrats, in effect, got rid of it for certain court appointments. Republicans, when they took over, got rid of it, in effect, for Supreme Court appointments. We're chiseling away at the filibuster already, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, both parties are responsible for some of that. And Democrats started it when they did away with the filibuster for nominations. So, you know, you could argue this is just a continuation of that. This would be a very dramatic continuation of it. But in some ways, it feels inevitable because, as you mentioned, it's just been chipped away at. And, you know, I should add that the stark partisan divide in the Senate, which has just grown dramatically worse in the 15 years that I've been in Washington, is truly to blame for some of this because there are no conversations that happen between Republicans and Democrats. You know, they They could tell you that they get along with each other, but when it comes to actually moving legislation, you know, you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, and there's very little wiggle room. You know, I think you see that when there's stories about major votes, and it's one, maybe two Republicans or Democrats vote, you know, with the other side on legislation. You just never see them leaving their camps on major issues anymore. And that's really contributed to the spirit of, you know, I'm not even going to let you advance your legislation because I'm so starkly opposed to it. And I'm worried about a primary at home if I help you in any way.
Jennifer, thanks again for joining us today.
It was great to talk with you.
That's Jennifer Habercorn, who covers Congress for the LA Times. We talked with her about some of the top stories in national politics this week.